Good morning. The notices for the following week are as follows. Can Society Treasurers please balance books at the end of October and give to Neil or Dave for audit in the next couple of weeks? On Wednesday, the 8th of November, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet 10 a.m. in the church hall and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday is Remembrance Sunday, and due to this, we're going to meet. The service will start at 10:45 and will finish around 10 to 12, I believe. That will be led by John Vale and myself. Worship Warriors will then meet also at 11:10, it says in here. That's very precise, isn't it? So they'll be meeting at 11:10 in the Jubilee Hall. And just a reminder for those of you that are on the Church Executive, there will be a Church Executive meeting on November the 14th at 7:30 p.m. It's now my pleasure to welcome the winner and Tony. And I know it's you. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be back, and it's slightly unusual that I'm starting off instead of a winner, but I will be bringing the message a little later on. I noticed the screen had Children of God on. As it happens, the title of the sermon is Children of God. Yes? So, okay. Let's open in prayer first, and we ask, Father God, as we come to worship you, may you fill this place with your presence. May your Holy Spirit speak to each and every heart. May we be blessed by your presence, and may you be pleased by our worship. And may this time be honouring to the name of Jesus. Amen. We start by singing our praise to God in the song, Worthy, O Worthy Are You, Lord, worthy to be worshipped and adored.
Thank you.
And there's one thing that is uncertain whenever we come here. We don't know whether they're going to be children for a children's talk. So this morning, I want you to think that you are all children. Children of the Lord. Okay? Because I just want to share a thought, that's all. And not a normal children's talk, it's just a thought. It's something that I read in some Bible reading notes during the past couple of weeks sometime. And it was a prayer by a little boy. It's amusing, but it also carries some important truths. And the prayer went something like this. God bless Mummy. God bless Daddy. God bless Baby. And God bless me. And Lord, take care of yourself. Because if anything happens to you, we're all sunk. And there is a saying, isn't there? You know, out of the mouths of babes. And that's in the Bible. Jesus said it in words similar to that. And it's a phrase that's used to describe wisdom that comes from the mouths of children. Here in this short prayer, the little boy expressed a deep truth, even though he didn't quite understand it. But it was from his heart. That's another important thing to recognise from this little prayer he said. The fact is that without God, we would all be sunk. And that's an incredible spiritual truth that this little boy hadn't really grasped, but we understand it to be true. So that's worth remembering as we pray. And finally, a word to parents and grandparents, I guess. Watch out for deep spiritual truths coming out of the mouths of your children or grandchildren. It can happen at times. Okay. Right, I'm going to hand over to Helen now for a special time. And we pray the Lord will bless you because she's really been working hard on this. Off you go.
Just before we do this, it's good to have Nathan with us this morning. Is it a month at university at Nottingham? Can you shout and tell us what you're studying? Oh, it sounds a bit difficult, doesn't it? And also, Dan, I'm sure it's good to have a family reunion. He loves university. He likes coming home, I think, but he likes university. Remember Nathan and your prayers as well in this family. Okay. So let's all pray together. Lord, we thank you for your church. We thank you for the fellowship we have through Jesus Christ between each other and with yourself. We pray for Catherine, Wendy, and Joanne, who are to be received into the membership here of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to live their lives according to their calling in Christ and fill them with full assurance of faith. As we pray for the fellowship here, we ask that you will bless us and give to us your grace in ever-increasing measure. May we always strive to be obedient to your word and show forth the glory of your name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, just a few months ago, interest was shown in church membership. And we thought, oh, that's what the minister does. So what should we do? How should we work this one out? And we remembered a few years ago, we had a church membership course. So we opened it out to everybody who wanted to come along. Dave led the course, and Carol, who's in hospital, remember Carol in your prayers as well, please, in hospital. And myself, the three members, and Wendy, Joanne, and Catherine came along as well. We didn't know what would happen by the end of the course. It was left open. At the end of the course, they all decided they would like to be church members. So that's why this is happening today. It's a joyous time for me. I'm church president. That's why I've stepped up to this today. But I'm doing this not as church president. I'm doing it on behalf of all of you. It's not me that's out the front. It's about all of us together. We're all in this together, welcoming these new people into our membership. So I thought we'd have a reading that we read on the membership course. And it's Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I will finish that reading in a few minutes. So Catherine, Wendy and Joanne, we have heard with joy and excitement. It's an exciting time when we have new members. It really is. Well, I'm really excited about your decision to follow Christ and of your wish to be joined to the family of God in this place. You have come to profess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to consecrate yourself to him and to accept the privileges and responsibilities of membership of this church. We are here as part of the one family of God to welcome you into the fellowship of the church. I think Wendy wants to say something as well. So if the three of you would stand, please. And then we'll, after Wendy's said something, does anyone else want to say anything? No? No? Okay, just Wendy then. Okay, Wendy. Let us pray.
Dear Lord, I want to give thanks and praise that in February 1980 I was born again and you chose me to be one of your followers. And now today I am becoming a member of this wonderful family here at Alderman's Green Church. And I feel I am now being given the opportunity to begin a new phase in my Christian journey with my family here, to do my best to praise and worship you each week and do whatever it is you have planned for me. Lord, I ask that you will continue to strengthen Joanne, Catherine and my faith in you and your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, and that we will serve you in whatever way you want us to. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so now we'll have the responses. If you say it together, okay? Our Lord offers you himself, and in him all the promises and gifts of God are yours. May you do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Do you believe you have been saved from your sins through faith in Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you trust him as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Will you seek to do God's will and serve him in fellowship with other believers in the church? And will you promise to make every effort to regularly attend Sunday worship and observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper?
With God's help, I will.
Will you seek to be a witness for Christ so that others may be brought into the kingdom?
With God's help, I will.
Will you be faithful to God through prayer and meditation on his word?
With God's help, I will.
So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive and welcome you to membership of this church, and now we give you the right hand of fellowship. Wendy, yeah. It's good. You're back again.
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Yeah.
And it's good. And thank we thank you, God dear. For you.
Thank you.
Catherine, it's good to have you. She's a bundle of joy. We found out a lot about you on the membership course, and it's good to have you with us. We thank God for you. And Joanne, it's good to have you with us. Thank you. May God bless you too. And this is the time, if any of you feel you would like to come and welcome them as well, we're a whole church together, just come up and welcome them. Well, I don't like placing them on the piano for a while.
I've done my bit.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. There she is.
Thank you, Dad. I'll do that bit later.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you.
We began a reading a few minutes ago, and now we're going to just finish it with the last two verses of the chapter. And I'm hoping that if you find it great this morning, when it comes to amen, there'll be a rousing amen. Let's see what happens, if it'll work. We're only going to try it the once. So let's see. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Amen!
Wonderful. Thank you.
Sorry, just come unclipped. Right. I've just been told... The children that I spoke to a few minutes ago have now arrived. I'm not going to repeat the whole thing. I'm just going to tell you a little prayer that a little boy prayed, saying, God bless Mummy, Daddy, Baby and me. And Lord, take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're sunk. Okay. We come now to a time of communion. And Lord, we pray that you would presence yourself with us in this particular part of the service as we partake of bread and wine that reminds us of Jesus. May Jesus be made known to us in the breaking of bread, just like that couple who walked with him to Emmaus. And may you be pleased and honoured by the way in which we remember and honour you. Amen. The Lord invites us to come. He welcomes us as his special guests. He invites us to remember his love for us as demonstrated on Calvary. And in response, we need to bow before him and declare him as Lord. In the light of his presence and holiness, we acknowledge our sinfulness and throw ourselves upon his mercy. So the invitation is, let us come to the Father. Let us come in repentance. Let us come with confession. And then let us receive of his forgiveness. Let us receive of his comfort. Let us receive of his love. And let us renew our commitment to him as we celebrate the Lord's death until he comes. And as John the Baptist declared, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The scripture tells us, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you, Lord. And we come to the bread and the wine. And I have to be very careful at times like this. Lord, here's the bread and wine. In themselves, they're nothing, but to us, they represent the Lord Jesus. They are symbols of the body that was given for us and the blood that was shed for us. And we pray that you would meet with us through this simple act of remembrance. And we will eat the bread as we receive it. And then Jesus took the cup and said, "Drink this, all of you, and when you do, remember me, and we will retain the cup to enable us to drink together." We are reminded by that song that Dave just played. It's only by grace we can enter. By the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So let us drink as we remember and give thanks. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time that is precious to us as we declare by this act of remembrance that Christ died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Amen. Apologies, I didn't quite know how these stacked together. Owenna, would you like to come?
Good morning. We are very privileged that we have a home group who support us in prayer. And last time we met, they said, "Where are you next?" And I said, "Alderman's Green." It's like visiting family that we haven't seen for a while. Amazing, isn't it, really? Because it isn't the same everywhere we go at all. And it's a real privilege to come here always. And I said to them, "They're such a responsive congregation." I said, "It makes all the difference in the world." So it's lovely to be here. So before we launch into my worship time, we're going to take up the offering and then I'm going to pray for the children as they leave us. I hope that's the right order. Thank you. Let's do that now. Father, thank you that you are a God who is able to take what we offer and multiply it and use it in ways we cannot imagine. And so we ask that you will do this with the gifts that have been given this morning and those that have gone straight into the bank. And we ask you, Lord, that you will equip this congregation here to reach out into the community so that many more people might come to know you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm just going to pray for the young people now as they leave us. Lord, we thank you for children and young people who will be the church of the future. And we ask that as they leave us now and they go and learn more about you, that you will help this seed to go deep into their lives so that it can never be removed. And as they grow and learn more about you, it will flourish and develop into strong faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. Well, you know that when I come here, I like to share something that God has been teaching me or showing me things about. And it's been quite a year, really, in our family life. The wonderful thing is that our son, after 27 years of praying, has come back to faith. And in an amazing way. And maybe next time we come, I will share that testimony because it's so exciting. It's also been a difficult year because Tony has had a problem with double vision for 11 months. And ironically, it's been a year when we've been out visiting churches and taking services more than we've ever done since Tony left the ministry at LSR. So isn't it incredible that God is able to sustain us and help us, even in the most difficult times? And there are a couple of things I felt. There was so much that I could have shared, and I said to God, what should I share this time? And so I want to start from Jeremiah 32, verse 26. And this is what it says. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? And as I pondered this, I thought, this question is actually a statement from God. What he's saying is, if God is supreme and his power is able to be manifest in all circumstances, if anything were too difficult, he would not be God. If he is not sovereign of all, he is not sovereign at all. And you know, I hang on to that. I look at the world around us and what a mess we are in. Lord, help us. But God is sovereign. How he will work it out, I have no idea. But I do have a firm conviction that he will work it out. And on that basis, I want to encourage you. We can have peace in all circumstances when we have absolute confidence that nothing is too hard for God. And just recently, we've come across some songs which have been so powerful. And one is, I Speak Jesus. I don't know if you know it. If not, go on YouTube and find it. It is so powerful. And what it says is, whatever our circumstances, we need to speak the powerful name of Jesus into them. And he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. And so, as I thought and pondered this, I said to myself, so God, please give me greater understanding of who you are so that I might trust you completely. And over this year, I have learned so much more about God. And a man called Arthur Pink said this, no prayer is too hard for him to answer. I want to say that to you again. I don't know your circumstances this morning, but it applies to you. No prayer is too hard for him to answer. No need too great for him to supply. No passion too strong for him to subdue. No temptation for him to deliver you from. No misery too deep for him to relieve. Wow. And if you actually step out in faith and trust God with that, you are going to be amazed what he can do. And so I'm saying once again, so Lord, help me to remember that you display your power best in my impossible situations. So please give me greater understanding of who you are so that I might trust you completely. So I would encourage you to do that. Put it into practice. And as you determine to do it with his help, you will see God work in amazing ways. I could keep you here all day sharing what he's done for me, but I won't, don't worry. But we're going to, as a result of that, we're going to come into a time of worship. You know I love to worship God in song. And so I've chosen three songs for us to do that this morning. So if you feel able to stand, that's great. But if you're more comfortable seated, that's fine too. God understands. Our first one is called Ascribe Greatness to Our God the Rock. His work is perfect and all his ways are just. Remind yourself of that fact. Thank you, Dave. times we need to declare his majesty. We need to proclaim that his name is exalted. For he reigns, I love these words, magnificently, rules victoriously, and his power is shown throughout the earth. Start looking for his power in everyday things and you will be amazed. Let's sing this when we declare your majesty. And we're in a privileged position this morning if we belong to Jesus, because the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. That's what the Word of God says in Psalm 23. You may not feel you have everything you need, but God assures you that today, if you are living in him, you have everything you need. The Lord's my shepherd. Thank you.
Thank you.
people of God said, Amen. Please be seated. Tony's going to come and speak to us now, but I'll just pray for him. Father, thank you for the gift of your word this morning. Thank you that you have been speaking to Tony as he's prepared this. And Lord, I pray that it might be a word which feeds us, nourishes us, maybe challenges us to be more like you in every way possible. Bless him now, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Have we a time limit? Just thinking we've taken a lot of time. Okay. Sorry, it's in my hands, but if you complain, Helen said so. Okay. Now, on March 19th, we came here, and it was Mother's Day. And I spoke on mothers. On the 18th of June, it was Father's Day, and I spoke on fathers. And today, keeping it in the family, and as we said right at the beginning, we're all children. I'm speaking on the children of God. Right, some of you probably watch television. How many of you watch Who Do You Think You Are? Yeah? Oh, one or two, yes. Good. So that's my question to start with for you this morning. Who do you think you are? For instance, I might say that I am a husband, a father, a preacher, and as from this year, a bird whisperer. A bird whisperer. Well, to be more exact, the bird whisperer of Wales, or to be even more exact, the bird whisperer of a little village called Gilwern in Wales, and in a little close called Basildon Close. Now, why am I saying this? Because we were staying there at my brother's house, and Owenna was in the bedroom getting dressed, and I was in the bathroom shaving, and suddenly there was this awful scream from the bedroom, like I've never heard from Owenna before. She's often going, "Oh!" But this was a real scream, so I dashed in. And what had happened was this. Just above the window of the bedroom is where some house martins nest. And one of them had misunderstood that house martin didn't mean you lived in the house. But he came through the window and he was flapping. And I don't know who was more frightened, him or Owenna. And so I had to whisper to this little bird, because if he was flapping his wings, I couldn't get hold of him. So I had to say, calm down, put your wings together, just be still for a moment while I can get hold of him, and put him out of the window, and he flew away. So I'm a bird whisperer as well. Okay. But the main thing that I am is a child of God. Our reading shows me what I was and now what I am. And this reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 26. Before coming to this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Now, a man called Warren Wiersbe wrote a study book on the letter to the Galatians, and he said that the essence of the letter is this, that we should be free. There's freedom in Christ. And indeed, that's what he called his study, Be Free. And he talked about it, exchanging legalism
for true spirituality and freedom in God. So a second question for us, for you to think about and answer. If I wanted to be a really good Christian, I must ... What would you put in there? If I wanted to be a really good Christian, what must I do? I must attend church every week. I must pray more, read my Bible more. I must stop doing that thing or the other. That all comes under the heading, even though they may be good, under the heading of legalism. The old way was about trying to keep the law, which we are unable to keep, because all have sinned and come short of God's glory, short of what he requires of us. And the old way, where people live under the idea that I must do this, I must do that, is ignoring the fact that there's nothing they can do but receive what God has already done. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, that old way of living in a legalistic sort of way seems to keep many people unhappy as they try to keep the commands of God and they struggle. And many of those who are still held prisoner by legalism seem to be so unhappy, and they think it's their job to keep other people in a state of unhappiness. Maybe you've met one or two of those. But now, verse 25 tells us, this faith has come because the Lord Jesus has come and brought us out of that slavery of legalism into a living relationship with the Father through his Son. The law was and is important, but now we're not slaves to it, but we are children of the lawmaker. The relationship is different now. That's a possibility that's real for all of us if we believe. John's opening chapter of his gospel, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, the amplified version of that fills out the meaning a bit more. And it says this, but to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, privilege, and right to become children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. And then we discover in Romans chapter 8, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you may live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you have received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, I don't know. For some people, their idea of being a Christian is, I must do everything or God will punish me. Or living in a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God testifying within our hearts that we are indeed children of God. In the Amplified Version again, the Spirit himself thus testifies together with our spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And there's more. Paul in 2 Corinthians, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. All these verses open up to us once we receive Christ and we live in that right relationship of sonship and daughtership. He's developing the family likeness in us.
even though we've been adopted. Isn't that wonderful? Even though you've been adopted, you have the family likeness. And I love the version in the Message. It says this: our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. So that's my third question for you. Are you becoming brighter and more beautiful for Jesus? You see, we are being transformed. We are gradually becoming brighter. When we're born physically, we start to grow, and there's so much for us to learn. But when we are reborn, we also start to grow and develop spiritually. So, in both cases, there's the happening, the birth and the rebirth, and then there's the process, and we need to continue in the process. And whilst it's good to maintain a childlike faith, we must leave childishness behind. So we need to know that we are children of God and rejoice in it. And when you meet other Christians, you can tell, are they living as a child of God and rejoicing in it? Or are their heads bound and heads crammed with all the things they ought to do, should do, if not I'm a failure? So there are privileges in being children of God. In Romans 8 verse 17, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Despite the fact that Christians presently suffer, they are assured a future entrance into their inheritance. We may have to endure a little in the way of persecution, but our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world really suffer, may have this promise to sustain them. We are heirs, and we can only imagine what our inheritance really involves. We will have a crown, but we will be laying our crowns before Jesus. I carry in my memory a sign that I saw in a second-hand junk shop that said this, and I may have said it to you before because I carry it with me. Walk as if you're wearing a crown. Walk as if you're wearing a crown. Now, people who are wearing a crown, if they're walking like that, it's going to fall off. But God says in Psalms that he's our joy and the lifter of our heads. I have this picture of him when we are feeling sorry for ourselves, sad or despairing, putting his hand under our chin and saying, rejoice, I'm your father, I've got it all in hand. So it's a real privilege. The privileges actually begin now. 1 John 3 verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. I don't know where John got his word from, because that's an English word. What original did he use? I don't know. But lavish, he didn't just say that the Father has given us love, or the Father has loved us. He says the Father has lavished his love on us. That's good to know. And he goes on to say, now friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Again, the family likeness that's been developed within us. And through Scripture, we can discover
all the expressions of God's love towards us. And there isn't time enough to explore them all. But there is an old favourite in the Old Testament that sums up God the Father's love for us, his desires for us. And we find it in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to 26. And you may be familiar with this. It's what is called the priestly blessing. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites." So God is saying, I want you to bless my people. And this is how I want you to do it. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That's the blessings and privileges of being children of God, summed up in that priestly blessing. And are you living in that sense of blessing on your lives? We should all be able to sit down and make a list of all the personal blessings and privileges that we've experienced and are experiencing, hopefully, in our lives as children of God. So there are the privileges. But I need to say that there are also responsibilities associated with being children of God. And a good place to start is the Old Testament commands. Jesus summed them up in this way in Mark's Gospel. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second, love your neighbour as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. So that is our first and main responsibility as children of God, is to love the Father God. And you know, Father God doesn't make us love him. You can't make somebody love you. It's got to come from their heart. And God is saying, I want you to love me. And in the New Testament, the teachings of the apostles lay out our responsibilities as children of God. A couple of examples. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and a crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. Let me sum up those verses in these statements. Our responsibility is to not grumble or argue. Become blameless and pure. Shine like stars in the sky. And hold firmly to the word of life. And John, in his epistles, he's called the Apostle of Love. There are many verses I could quote. Here's one. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brothers and sisters. So we've got to love as he loved us. And this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. So those are just some of the responsibilities we have as children of God. So as we draw to a close, as children of God, we have a father, we have a family, we have freedom from legalism, we have privileges, and we have responsibilities. And I finish with that verse again. May our lives gradually become brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word that brings out all the
blessings and the joys and the privileges of belonging to you as children of yours. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who senses that they live in the former state of being bound, who feels that they have to live by doing things that they should and ought to do, and but not having the joy, I pray, Lord, that you would release them, set them free. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And for all of us, may we indeed gradually become brighter and more beautiful as you enter our lives and we become like you. Amen. Our final hymn, he said, checking, "To God be the glory." Well, all the good things that hopefully you've heard and taken on board this morning, give glory to God in the singing of this song.
He's done great things, and there are more great things for us to see. And one day we're going to be with him and we're going to be like him. That's amazing. This year as well, I've learnt a lot about the blessings in the Word of God. And I want to finish this morning with a blessing, which comes from Psalm 18. And this is what it says. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms us with strength and keeps our way secure. And I pray that in this coming week you will know the Lord's blessing on your life in a special way. It's been lovely to be with you. Thank you.